Mark chapter 16. I want to read from Mark, Luke, and John. Briefly in some parts, just to get across to you certain facts that are there, and then dwell on others in more detail. In Mark chapter 16, I'm reading from the 1901 version, it says, "And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James, and Salome, brought spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, they come to the tomb when the sun was risen, and they were saying among themselves, Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the tomb? And looking up, they see that the stone is rolled back, for it was exceeding great. And then the angel speaks to them. Verse 7, But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you. And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had come upon them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid." Keep that in mind while we look at chapter 24 of Luke now. Luke 24. Verse 1, But on the first day of the week at early dawn, they came unto the tomb. Who are these? Look in chapter 23 at verse 49. And all his acquaintance and the women that followed with him from Galilee stood afar off, seeing these things. And so it says, On the first day of the week at early dawn, they came unto the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. And they found a stone rolled away, and so forth, and then an angel speaks unto them. And it says in verse 7, The Son of Man must be delivered up into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the tomb, and told all these things to the 11, and to all the rest. Please notice, there are not only the 11, but there are the rest of the disciples as well. And here we find that they went and told these things to the 11 and to all the rest. 10. Now there were Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women with them told these things unto the apostles, and these words appeared in their sight as idle talk, and they believed not. But Peter arose and ran unto the tomb, and stooping and looking in, he seeth the linen clothes by themselves, and he departed to his home, wondering at that which was come to pass. And very briefly, in the walk with the Lord Jesus to Emmaus, with these two, he's speaking to them, and look at verse 21. But we hope that it was he who should redeem Israel. Yea, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things came to pass. Moreover, certain women of our company amazed us, having been early at the tomb. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. And certain of them that were with us went to the tomb and found it even as the women had said, but him they saw not. And our Lord Jesus said unto them, O fool and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. And now, John chapter 20.
Mm-hmm.
verse 1. Now on the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene, while it was yet dark, unto the tomb, and seeth the stone taken away from the tomb. She runneth therefore, and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and the other disciple, and they went toward the tomb, and they ran both together, and the other disciple outran Peter, and came first to the tomb, and stooping and looking in, he seeth the linen clothes lying, yet he entered not in. Simon Peter therefore also cometh, following him, and entering into the tomb, and he beholdeth the linen clothes lying, and the napkin that was upon his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then entered in therefore the other disciple also, who came first to the tomb, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. So the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary was standing without at the tomb, weeping. And she looks in, and she sees these two angels, these two men that are sitting there, described as they appear, men, described as to what they are, angels. And they ask her, Why weepest thou? Verse 14. When she had thus said, she turned herself back, and beholdeth Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turneth herself and saith unto him in Hebrew, Rabboni, that is to say, Master. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Now, Father, we thank thee for every fragment that thou hast given us about the account of the resurrection of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We rejoice in it. We rejoice in the challenge that thou hast given us, and we rejoice in the faith that it requires until what time we are able to piece these fragments, enabled by thy Spirit, to piece these fragments together. And so we desire this morning to look at them somewhat and see each one, and enabled by thy Spirit, to seek to piece some of these fragments together. They are able to do this. And so look upon us and help us to this end. Give understanding to those who listen, and the ability to explain to him who speaks, and who is worthy to come into thy presence without first being cleansed from sin and unrighteousness. And thou hast promised to do this for us if we confess our sins, and so we do. Be faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, as thou hast promised. Undertake for us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. This is the third week I've been talking to you about the accounts of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the first 2 weeks, I showed you somewhat in detail how these accounts differ from one another. And I showed you that they differ not because they do not agree, not because they are contradictory, but because this is the way the Spirit of God led Matthew to record the resurrection of Christ, and led Mark and Luke and John. And he has done it in this case, and we rejoice that he has shown us elsewhere throughout the Gospels just how they deal with facts. I explained those things to you in detail. I cannot explain them again. But this much I can tell you, in going into the account of the visits of the women to the tomb, that the visits were not one, but more than one, and the messages carried by the women to the disciples and to the apostles, the messages were not one, but many messages, and they were carried by the different women at different times. That's all I wanted to convey to you by the accounts that I read. I could explain a lot about these things, but I shan't. I simply want you to see that it does not say that there was one visit to the tomb, that there was one message carried by the women, but John tells us of two messages carried by one woman, and the other Gospels tell us about the other messages carried by the other women. And I wonder if you notice this, that in Mark's Gospel, he tells us that when the angel said, "Go and carry this message," it said that they did not tell anyone anything. You say, well, that must be a flat contradiction. Why, of course not. If you see that in Mark's Gospel, it said they said nothing to anyone, and then you find that later they came to themselves and carried the message, it was simply a matter of time. When the Savior is speaking a parable about the two sons, and the father said to the first son, "Son, go work today in my vineyard," he said, "I will not." You say, well, he did not go. It says, afterward, he repented himself and went. It is so elementary to anyone who wants to see the truth, is that these women were filled with fear and trembling, and they said nothing to anyone. But just as those lepers in the Old Testament who found this deserted battlefield and were taking gold and silver and raiment, and then they said, why, there's enough here for everybody. Let's go tell what has happened. If I told you that they did not tell anyone, that would be true. But if I told you they did tell someone, it would be true. It was simply a matter of time. I'm trying to bring to your attention the simple solutions if you will look at them. But here is what I find, that those who are unbelievers will never accept a solution. The simplest solution, like the one that I've given you, that's so evident, they will not accept it. But you who are Christians, it is unnecessary to force it upon you. To tell you is enough to get you to accept it. You say, of course, this is what must have happened. I cannot tell you with exactness that it happened that way, but I know that it did happen in a similar way to what I'm telling you. Because if they did not tell, and then they did tell, you are not going to accept the fact that, well, I suppose the Bible just contradicts itself. The women never told anybody, whereas these very women themselves are going and carrying the message in the other Gospels. So accept that. And I want you to understand this, that when the Gospels are telling of a visit to the tomb, they may be telling of a visit to the tomb 1 minute or 5 minutes or 30 minutes later than the other visit that is described by the other Gospel to the tomb. You look at it and you have to see which visit is being described. All that was necessary for me to do was to show you that Mary went along with others to the tomb, and that she preceded them, just as John outran Peter to the tomb, and without seeing everything, she saw a little and then by herself ran back and gave the report to Simon Peter and to the other disciple, John, the message that she gave. We're not told this, but I know it's correct. It says that John and Peter ran to the tomb. That's all we are told. But when they get through examining the tomb, it says that Mary was standing without at the tomb. Now, does it take profound intelligence to realize that she followed with them to the tomb? She's there, even though it doesn't tell us she went back with them. She's there, and so without telling us, John lets us know that she went back to the tomb. And so here are the facts that are before us. You have to accept them, and then, as I mentioned, you take these fragments and seek, enabled by the Spirit, to piece them together. You may not get them exactly right, but you can refrain from getting them wrong. You see how they can be pieced together, and at times we see how they are pieced together. And so, having told you that, I want to go on and examine in detail now some of these things that we've read this morning. Not giving you an explanation of more details, but just showing you how, if I speak of a visit of the women to the tomb, I may be speaking of Mary's visit. I may be speaking of the other Mary and Salome and Joanna's visit to the tomb. It may be that I'm speaking from one gospel, and you say, but it says something else in another gospel. It is speaking of a visit by the women, but the time element is involved, and the different messages given the women to carry back to the apostles is involved. So keep that in mind. But now, let's approach it this way. If you recall reading the prophecy of Jeremiah, something so interesting took place. The Lord said to the prophet, he said, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And Jeremiah said, I see a rod of an almond tree. And the Lord said, thou hast well seen, for I watch over my word to perform it. Understand what has taken place. God sets an object lesson before Jeremiah, and Jeremiah tells God what he has seen. And then God interprets what he had seen. He does not ask Jeremiah for the interpretation. Keep that in mind for a moment. If you have read the prophecy of Zechariah, something similar happens because an angel is talking to Zechariah, and he says to Zechariah, what seest thou? And Zechariah looked, and he said, I see a golden candlestick and all the details associated with it. And then there is silence. And finally it's broken by Zechariah saying, what mean these things? And the angel says to him, knowest thou not? And Zechariah answered, no, my Lord. Do you see the difference? In both instances, object lessons are set before them. Now, I would rather be in Jeremiah's case, where I simply look and see the object lesson, and then God immediately explains it. But in the case of Zechariah, the angel is trying to train him, teaching him to interpret what he's seen. And he looks and he sees correctly, but he doesn't know how to interpret it. He sees exactly what the angel wanted him to see, but he said to the angel, what mean these things? And the angel marveled, and he said, you do not understand what these things mean? And Zechariah confessed honestly, no, my Lord. What has happened is that something similar to these cases that I've given you has happened in the gospel accounts when God has placed the tomb with the stone rolled away being empty before the eyes of at least these. Before the eyes of Mary Magdalene, the eyes of Simon Peter, and the eyes of John. Here is the object that is set before them. Remember, God set objects before the eyes of Jeremiah and Zechariah, and now on earth, he's not setting a vision, but he is setting an object lesson before them. And the question is asked, what do you see? Here are Mary and Peter and John looking at the identical object. And Mary looks at it, and she runs immediately to Simon, Peter, and John and says this, they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we know not where they had laid him. You see? Peter and John run to the tomb, and Peter looks in the tomb and sees what is there. And it says, he's bewildered. He's puzzled. He doesn't know what to make of it. It says that John went into the tomb and examined it, and it says, he believed. Do you see the difference? Mary saw the same thing that Peter saw, that John saw, and when Mary saw it, she said, a theft has taken place. Somebody has come and stolen the Lord away, hidden him, and we do not know where they have hidden him. She looked at that empty tomb, and that is what it meant to her. And Simon Peter looked at it, and he said, it's a puzzle to me. And John, the beloved apostle, looked at it, and he said, the Lord is risen from the dead. Now, what do you see? I don't know what you would have seen. You may have been duller than Mary. You may have been brighter than Peter. But here is what I find, that the people of God take the same word of God, and they read it, and they misinterpret it. And Simon Peter reads it, and misinterprets it. And John reads it, and he has the answer from God. And so let's go to Mary after her first visit to the tomb and say, Mary, what is the meaning of the empty tomb? And she says, theft. And asked Peter, what is the meaning of the empty tomb? And Peter says, a puzzle. And we go and ask John the Beloved, what is the meaning of the empty tomb? And he says, a solution. You understand what I'm trying to tell you? Grasp what I'm trying to tell you. That there are some people who lack perception, and because of that, they go around Christendom spreading wrong interpretations of correct facts. You understand that? You think that Mary wanted to? Of course not. But without being aided by God, she looked at something, and it meant this to her. And so without consulting God for additional information, she ran spreading a message that God never gave her to spread. And that's what happens to some people today. I've heard people, and I shan't explain it because I'm so embarrassed. And what happens is this, that some of the things you tell people that are incorrect, they remember these things and forget the truth that you tell them. But I've heard some people look at the scriptures and tell you exactly the opposite of what it means. And I'm not going to tell you their interpretations because that's what you would remember. If I tell you the correct interpretation, you would say, oh, what was that he said? I've seen it happen again and again. But what I'm telling you is that just as Mary looked at the empty tomb and she said, a theft has taken place. Do you realize that she was saying the very thing that the Jewish authorities bribed the soldiers to say? The authorities said, now look, if anyone asks you about the disappearance of this body, say that while we slept, his disciples came and stole him away. And Mary is carrying that same message, the message that liars are paying money to have spread. Mary is carrying and spreading this message, and yet she means no harm. Why, she would give anything to suppress this lie, this misinformation that she's given. But it's already been done. Do you understand? And so be careful before you go around telling people what you think the Bible means. Unless you know what the Bible means, say, I do not know. Be like Zechariah. First of all, ask the question, I see, but what does it mean? And even if you have to be embarrassed by the question, you don't understand what this means? And you have to answer, no, my Lord. Will you do that? Because if you say, I do not understand, thank God, the answer is forthcoming. The angel gives it. But there are so many people who it says they desire to be teachers of the law, though they understand neither what they say nor whereof they confidently affirm. And they go around spreading interpretations of the word, well-meaning, you understand? So well-meaning. And yet, They are spreading the same message that the enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ want them to spread. I will give you an example. The Lord Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. But they are so determined that he is God that they are going to take away all of these scriptures that have to do with God manifest in the flesh and do away with them entirely. And they go in the name of reverence for the deity of the Lord, and they are spreading heresy among Christians. That's what's so sad. And then there are others who will go to the opposite extreme. But the Lord Jesus is not God, and he's not flesh, but he is God manifest in the flesh, and both of them are true. And so you be sure that you examine that empty tomb carefully, and you patiently wait until a full revelation is given to you, because it did come to Mary. That is what is so delightful. She went back to the tomb the second time, and I'm going to abbreviate it for now, and she talks with the Lord Jesus Christ, and she says, "The Lord is risen from the dead." Now she goes the second time with a message. She says, "The Lord is risen from the dead." And she would have to say, "I was wrong the first time. He wasn't stolen from the tomb. He was risen from the dead." Do you understand? She went the second time with the message that Christ had given her, fully convinced by God's Son himself. And she went with the proper message, fully prepared to impart to others the truth of the matter concerning the life and death and resurrection of Christ. And so before you go running into the world, you be sure that you have full information and that you talk to the Lord personally in a spiritual way from his word, that you've spoken to the Lord personally and he has told you what message to carry. Because if not, in your anxiety to get out the message that the tomb is empty, you may be conveying to Christendom misinformation that will cause them to be upset and perplexed the way that you are perplexed and upset. I remember on one occasion going to a service station and something that was supposed to be done to my tire was not done. And I was going telling the man the dangers involved in a tire that wasn't fixed correctly when you're going 55 miles an hour. And the attendant said, wait a minute, you're projecting your anxiety. And so he didn't like that. And so there are many people who go around projecting their anxiety. Oh, are they going to drop the atomic bomb? Oh, is the world coming to an end? Whereas, if they had read the scriptures, they would understand what the end was going to be. But they haven't read the scripture. They are not grounded in the word, and they read the headlines in the newspapers, and so they go around saying, "I wonder if the world is going to come to an end." Whereas, had they examined the scriptures, they would know what is going to happen in the latter days. God has set it forth before us. And so I hope that you are not Mary in the first visit to the tomb, but I hope that you are Mary in the second visit to the tomb. And now, grasp this. The Lord did to the tomb what he wanted to, and what he did was a solution. Do you understand? Mary, if asked, "What does the empty tomb mean?" she said, "Theft." Simon Peter would say, "A puzzle." But the empty tomb was a solution. Do you understand that? If you look at it and you're puzzled by it, it is you who are puzzled. It is not a puzzle. It is a solution. And John looked at the solution and said, "The Lord is risen from the dead." So you look at something and you say, "This is a puzzle." It's a puzzle to you, but do you not understand it is a solution? God had put the solution in the empty tomb with the stone rolled away, the grave clothes laid in such and such a way, and the napkin rolled up in a place by itself. God says, "Here is the solution as to what happened to the Lord Jesus after he died, the resurrection from the dead." Now, those with perception see it immediately, and the burden of their heart is removed, and they have the peace that passeth understanding. And yet, those who are lacking in perception, those who have to be upbraided with their unbelief and hardness of heart, those who lack these things, they go through life puzzled, confused, filled with anxiety, never understanding. Their hearts are broken. They have sorrow. It happens again and again, and it's unnecessary. Let me tell you this. I remember when a younger couple who had been married for a few years suddenly were separated by death. The husband was taken away. And this wife that was left had been brought up in Sunday school. She had sat under my ministry and the ministry of many competent men of God for years. And yet, when I was at the funeral, she said to me in private, she said, "What happens to my husband now that he's taken from me? Where is he?" Can you imagine such a thing? A woman who her lifetime, she's in her 20s now, her lifetime she's been in Sunday school and under the sound of the word, and she doesn't know the simple answer. I said, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. My husband is present with the Lord. I could not conceive such a thing. All right. If you lack perception, if you fail to pay attention to what is taught you week by week, then you deserve to go through life and have broken hearts, and you shall. If you are wondering about your loved ones, and you do not know what God's word says, then you will sorrow as others who have no hope. That is why God's word was written, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. But if you do not listen to the scriptures, if you do not know the scriptures, if you have slow and hardness of heart to believe, if you have that, then you will go through life puzzled and confused and sorrowful, and it's not the fault of God, because God has placed in His Word solutions, and you look at them and you say, puzzles. And yet, our Savior, in this case, as I told you in past weeks, how the Lord had told them before He died, that He was going to die, the third day be raised from the dead, and He said, go into Galilee, there will I meet you. He had told them. And they hang around Jerusalem for a week. And the Lord, in His grace and condescension, appears to them again and again and again, until finally the message gets through that He wanted them to go into Galilee. He would appear unto them there. And so finally, they say, why, He told us to go into Galilee, and He would appear unto us there. And so they go into Galilee, and then the Lord has to start, after this delay of 8 days, He starts then doing what He wanted to do 8 days earlier. And so you and I, because of our foolishness and our slowness of heart to believe, we delay the work of God, because the Lord wants us to learn rapidly. It's like that angel when Zechariah says, what do these things mean? And the angel says, you don't know what they mean. There are some things that we're supposed to understand. As it says in Hebrews, when by reason of time you ought to be teachers, you have need again that someone teach you the rudiments, the ABCs of Christianity. And that's the way some Christians are. And they go through life with sorrow, with puzzles, whereas God has set solution before us. Just like I've been telling you, trying to show you the fragments and the way that they can be placed together. Don't you understand that God evidently enjoys jigsaw puzzles, because He has given us one. And how delightful it is if you've looked at a puzzle that's on a table and you say, it can never be put together. And finally, after patiently trying piece after piece, and you fit this piece and that piece together, and then the picture emerges, you say, why, it's so simple. It's beautiful. Look at the picture that emerged. And it's the same way with the Bible, if you will read all of it, and if you will call upon God for help. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth liberally to all men and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But if you are a fool and a slow of heart to believe, then it says the Lord will upbraid you. There are times when you should know. The answer should be yours. And not only will you have the sorrow of not knowing, but you will have the sting of being upbraided because of your slowness and your hardness of heart and your unbelief. And it says the Lord did that very thing. But let me show you how the Lord gives varying degrees of evidence. All that was necessary was the empty tomb. But if you want to know the truth, the empty tomb was not even necessary. Because the Lord, when he rebuked them, said, O fools and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. There was nothing on earth that was necessary if a man knew the word of God. And let me show you how, without anything being known or seen, some understood. When the wise men came and asked, where is the Messiah to be born? These interpreters of the scripture, without ever having been to Bethlehem, said to him, Micah 5:2, he's going to be born in Bethlehem of Judea. They knew exactly where he was going to be born. Well then, if we had known the word of God, we could have read it and seen what the Savior had said and what the scriptures had said. And if we were asked, what's going to happen to the Lord Jesus? We would have said what he told them. He must suffer and then enter into his glory. And the Savior rebukes them for being fools and slow of heart to believe in all that the scriptures have spoken. And so notice the evidence. Here is the word of God. That was all that was necessary for these men who instructed the wise men where to find the Savior. You could find the other solutions as well if you would look and if you were aided by the Spirit of God. But God gave the scripture first of all, and then he gave the empty tomb. But now look, with these two things, the scripture, John confesses, I did not know the scripture, but when I saw that physical evidence, I understood that. And then he understood the physical evidence was in conformity with the written word of God. But let me show you. Mary comes back to the tomb, and angels are speaking to her. She doesn't understand. The Lord Jesus is speaking to her. She doesn't understand. And finally, the Savior says one word. He says, Mary, and she understands. You see how sorrowful she was, how needlessly the hours were spent in sorrow and confusion. But God graciously gave her one piece of evidence after another. And so finally he said, it will take the utterance of her name. And so he said, Mary. And so I trust that you are not like Mary that morning early when she went to the tomb, but that you are Mary and the Lord has spoken to you, that your sorrow may be carried away. Let us not be fools and slow of heart to believe, but let us be quick to believe all that the Scripture has spoken. The time is gone. Let us pray. Now, Father, will you forgive us for not knowing what we could know and what we should know? And forgive us, Father, for being sorrowful when thou hast told us that the joy of the Lord is our strength, for bearing so many burdens that you have not placed upon our shoulders. Our Father, help us to be wise and perfect you. There are enough sorrows and burdens in life without manufacturing others of our own. And so help us by thy grace, our Father, to know what the scriptures say, to understand the solutions that you place before us, that we see day by day, and let us not be puzzled by them, but let us, as John, see the resurrection of thy Son, the Lord Jesus. We are thankful for the truth of all thy word. We are thankful that it is given by inspiration of God. It is without fault. Every jot and tittle is in place. We thank you for this, our God. We pray for wisdom that we might understand it and in time grant the solution to us. Until then, Father, we believe that Christ indeed is risen from the dead and he has appeared. Hear us and bless us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The meeting is over.